Elizabeth Barrett is a wife, mother, grandmother, licensed marriage and family therapist, educator, eavesdropper, and emotion worker. She uses all of these skills to address the subjects we all struggle with in this conversation with a reluctant therapist. Happy Tuesday, Elizabeth. What's up today?
Well, Hank, today we are thinking about Veterans Day, which is going to be happening this Saturday, November the 11th. And so I wanted to, spend some time talking about veterans, not just for their service, their ongoing service, but for how we as public citizens help veterans when they return and things that we can do to do more than just say thank you for your service, which I think by default a lot of us find ourselves doing when we come face to face with veterans, when we see service members in the community. You know, our first instinct is to say, thank you for your service.
You want to say something, and that seems to be the accepted.
But it always feels empty to me.
Sure.
You know, there's kind of this hollow thing. It's as if, thank you for your service, so I didn't have to do it. You know, that always feels like the underlying message that makes me feel very uncomfortable. And I noticed there's a movie that's coming out called Thank You for Your Service that talks about veterans returning home and trying to reintegrate into society. And so as a psychotherapist, you know, that part always weighs on me, is that we're not doing well by our service members when they return. You know, parades are wonderful and, you know, memorials were wonderful, but to be able to actually serve the needs of returning soldiers who are traumatized or combat wounded, you know, either physically, emotionally, mentally, we struggle. And so instead of getting too deep into all the ways we're not doing well, not meeting the needs of the 20 veterans who commit suicide every day, or the 20% of veterans who come home with symptoms of PTSD, instead of kind of hammering home those statistics, because I think we all on some level know that we're not doing well, I wanted to find something positive. I wanted to find something to talk about that is doing good things for returning soldiers. So, you know how you hear something, a word or a phrase or an activity, and then you start hearing it and seeing it everywhere as if it just emerged?
Sure.
So my next door neighbor, Kevin Watkins, is a surfer, and he said to me a couple weeks ago, he just was so pumped up and on fire, and he's like, you wouldn't believe what I just did. I just spent a week volunteering for this program called Operation Surf, working with veterans. I'm just a changed man. I mean, he was just, I could see in his face that this had been profound for him. And I was so excited, because you need to talk to the founder of this program. You need to find out about this. Do more to get the word out. And I said, okay, I can see how alive you are. And I'd heard of, you know, the programs down the beach and seeing kind of news clips about different surfing with veterans, but I didn't know much. But seeing Kevin opened my eyes. And then I was perusing Netflix, and up in my queue pops this documentary called Resurface. And it happens to be a documentary all about Operation Surf. And it follows the story of a returning veteran, Bobby Lane, who was suicidal and had always wanted to learn to surf. So his plan was he was going to go surf one last time or learn to surf and then commit suicide. And he meets Van Carrazza and comes to Operation Surf and changes his life. So I wept my way through that entire documentary. And I thought, I need to find this Van Carrazza and talk about Operation Surf. So we're fortunate enough today to have Van Carrazza in the studio to talk about Operation Surf, to talk about Veterans Day, to talk about how we can do more as a community than just say thank you for your service. So I'm looking forward to that. And I just want to remind everyone, you know, the Veterans Day is a public holiday honoring military veterans, those who served in the United States Armed Forces. So not to be confused with Memorial Day, which honors, you know, fallen soldiers. Veterans Day is really a time when civilians can honor and recognize the sacrifices that are made by service members and their families year-round. And the interesting thing about Veterans Day is that it coincides with Armistice Day and Remembrance Day, which are celebrated in other countries. And they mark the end of World War I, which formally happened, the war formally ended at the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month in 1918, which is why we celebrate Veterans Day on Saturday, November the 11th. So I'm looking forward to this conversation. I encourage people to find ways to honor veterans that goes beyond just saying thank you for your service. Maybe, you know, getting involved with your legislator, writing letters asking for more service for veterans, or taking the time to put together care packages to send to veterans, making sure you find out what deployed troops actually need and want in these care packages. There's organizations and groups all over the Central Coast sending care packages, or you can contact the Veterans Administration. Visit a veterans hospital or visit one of our retirement homes all over the Central Coast. There are a lot of veterans that are living in retirement homes. Go just have a conversation, take a Bundt cake or something, you know, and have a conversation beyond thank you for your service. Just find out how their life is and how they are. Have your children make cards. Encourage your children's teacher to make sure they include a Veterans Day lesson plan in their teaching, because it's one of those things that can go easily unnoticed because we don't pay a lot of attention to civic duties and civic responsibilities in our school system anymore. You can invite a veteran to come speak at your organization or your school. American Legion passes out those red poppies that you see every year, made out of crepe paper. Wear those and honor the veterans. And just speak up and support those who have served your country in ways, fight for them to get the recognition and services that they need. So to be part of the conversation, we'll open up the phones in a little while. Our number is 805-781-3875. You can also be a part of the conversation by liking our Facebook page, The Reluctant Therapist. I post each week's show. You can leave us a message there. Or you can always send me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. You can hear previous shows at kcbx.org under the News Talk tab. And we ask you to subscribe to our podcasts through Apple Podcasts or through NPR One. Those are all great ways to be interactive with the show. And I'm going to share your thoughts and feelings about what you hear coming up today. So I am Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist, and we'll be back in a moment to start our conversation with Van Carrazza.
My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty. Of thee we bow to sing. Land of the pilgrim's pride, same land where my forefathers died. Every mountainside, we're gonna let freedom ring. We're gonna let freedom ring. My native country, thee, oh, the land of the noble free. Thy name.
I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. And Van Carrazza, thank you for joining me.
It's an honor to be here with you, Elizabeth.
So it is interesting how your name popped up in my life, and then everywhere I looked, somehow you were involved in some way, either through the Netflix documentary or changing my neighbor's life. And then I was researching different water therapies, ocean therapies, and then your name came up again with research on using nature-based therapies to help soldiers. So I'm just really interested to find out how, a little bit about you, your background, and then how you came to find yourself doing this work with Operation Surf.
Well, you know, it's kind of a long, it's a life journey for me, mm-hmm. to where I was able to be in a position to start Amazing Surf Adventures. And I was born and raised in this area, and just lived here. I was an only child with my father, Hank. And, you know, and I had, you know, like every kid, I had my journey. And through my journey, you know, I had a lot of experiences, good and bad. And, You know, some things were, like I'm finding the parallelness is in my head were a lot worse in my mind, I guess, than what actually it looked like, you know. And so, you know, so down, you know, the path, you know, I was, you know, my, you know, I have some athletic skills and, you know, I became a, you know, as a, played all the sports, and then I skateboarded, and then I started surfing. And
were you a little ahead of your time being a skateboarder and surfer, or was that kind of what all the kids were doing?
Well, I guess my generation is the generation before the change of everything, you know. So we went from the hard clay wheels to the first urethane wheels with ball bearings, and then the urethane wheels with concealed ball bearing wheels, and with all the different type of skateboards, you know.
Were you in the empty pools?
We started the pool stuff the same era as like all the changes where the skate park started being popping up, you know, in California and, you know, down in Anaheim and Reseda. And then they actually had one here in Arroyo Grande called the Solid Wave.
My brother and his friend journeyed down here from the Bay Area to go to that skate park, and now it's under – I think that they sell rocks or landscaping materials there.
Yeah, it's under a bunch of sand and soil, so it's covered up. It's still there if you want to dig it up. But
so you skateboarded, you got into surfing,
yeah,
and you became a professional surfer, right? Throughout this?
Yeah. Well, the draw for me for surfing is you know I had a personal love and connection with it, and you know, like most kids, I didn't want to work. I just wanted to go surf and, you know, have surfing as my job, right? And so, you know, so I did all the amateur WSA and got into the PSAA and then the ASP back in the day. And so I did all the California pro contests, and I traveled over to Hawaii to do the Hawaiian Triple Crown. And so, you know, it was a journey, but it really plays a big part of my story, is because, you know, going into that and having, you know, the lifestyle that I had, you know, I got into, well, I guess a path of destruction. And so through the journey of it, you know, the progression of it, you know, it went from that experimental and recreational to habitual. And
we're talking about drug use, alcohol use.
I'm talking about alcohol use and drug use. And, and how it all started is because, you know, going into it, you know, I had, you know, everyone said, man, you got so much potential. Why are you doing drugs? And I'm like, I'm not doing drugs. I'm just smoking weed. You know? And, you know, but eventually for me, it wasn't enough. And so I ventured off into more things, and it created a lifestyle of denial, I guess, you know, because the denial is I had no idea how it was affecting my personal life and the people around me and my family and my loved ones around me, because I was just like, you know, leave me alone, I'm not hurting nobody. And so, you know, through the years of journeying down that road, you know, eventually, like some of us, and unfortunately a lot of us, you know, we start into a behavioral pattern that we become very destructive to, you know, they basically call us a tornado, you know, because everywhere we go, you know, we're, you know, causing wreckage and destruction. And you know, I was unable. That's why I say denial is the killer, because I had no idea that my life was going down the roads it was. But it took me decades to figure this out. It wasn't like
I woke up and
said, oh, I have a problem, you know, because, you know, the characteristic of what I possess is like I would change a little bit here and there, and I would stop for a little while and things would get better. And, you know, but I never recognized the direct connection of, you know, my partying, you know, my drinking and using, and how it affected my inability to succeed a level of my desire, you know, because I always had these high expectations. I'm a dreamer, you know. I guess that's why everything exists, what I got going on today, is because I was dreaming about this lifestyle of traveling the world, surfing perfect waves and getting paid for it. But I never wanted to leave the Central Coast. And so it's really hard to succeed in an area that has no industry of surfing.
No.
So it was difficult, and, you know, and so through decades of, you know, the journey of life, you know, I was arrested multiple times, and I had a major drug addiction. And
did you leave professional surfing then when the addiction got too heavy, or were you continuing to compete and use?
Both. Like, because when you have decades of use, obviously I was using and partying while I was competing, and always wondering why I wouldn't get that break, you know what I mean? Like, I had a bad heat, and you know, but I never, you know, I'm not going to blame, the fact is that's what it was happening, because that's just the way the journey of my life was. But then eventually, you know, life got so bad and so consuming by my lifestyle that, you know, I wasn't even surfing that much at all. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and then so luckily, you know, I was arrested for possession and under the influence. And so it basically started me the process. And what happened was, is I was arrested, but 6 months later, I finally faced the consequences of my sentencing. And then as I was sitting in the hallway of courtroom D5, you know, I finally had this feeling like maybe I should quit drinking and using altogether and take this program, Prop 36, and in the drug court system. And so I took that program, and it introduced me to a lifestyle that forever changed my life. And
what year was this when you turned the corner?
It was December 16th, 2002 is when I had my sentencing date. And so that's my my clean and sober date is December 16th, 2002. So since then, I haven't had a drink or a drug since then. So
what happened through the course of getting clean, getting sober, kind of probably waking up and realize, oh, it's 2002. What should I do with the rest of my life?
Well, it really didn't. It's funny, is because I finally surrendered to the point where I was just going through a process that I was just doing what I thought was necessary, you know. And so when I faced and accepted that, you know, I had this addiction problem, then I really wanted to go into this program and get the most out of it as I could. So I really was doing everything I can do to stay out of jail. I really wasn't doing all this stuff to completely quit.
Okay.
And so during the process, what happened was, is I got some clarity by putting some, you know, multiple days in a row with no using, you know, the clarity came back. And so through this journey, I was able to start hearing things that I wasn't, it's not saying that they weren't said to me before, but I wasn't able to hear the things that were being spoke in front of me until I got some clarity. And all of a sudden things started making some sense. And I started this program, and then, you know, they made me go to 12-step programs. And I guess that's, I learned about my addiction and my disease in Prop 36. And then I learned how to live clean and sober in the 12-step programs. And so one of the things about that is like, we do this personal inventory, you know, mm-hmm. and for all you out there, step four, right? So I do this, and, you know, I was asked to not only write about the bad things, but about the good things. And so what I recognized, that surfing was the one component in this one thing in my life that was always kept me in such a way that I had something positive in my life. I had a positive escape. I had a natural solitude place for me to escape all my surroundings and go to. And to find my self-worth and my self-esteem through all that. And so as I was doing that, you know, all along the way, when I was telling psychologists and people that, you know, I did all this stuff to stay out of jail, because when I was doing it, I was saying, if I get caught doing this, I wouldn't be able to surf. And they go, wow, do you know how powerful that is? I'm like, it didn't keep me from doing it.
Right.
Right? It goes, yeah, but you were thinking about it. And so when I was going down this path, you know, one of the biggest things that we have is, you know, is unity, recovery, and service. And service work is a huge part of my life today. And so, you know, so for the majority of my life, I spent it, you know, I guess taking, like, what can I get? I have to do this to get something. And, you know, I need to do
kind
this.
Solos focused all on yourself.
Well, yeah, because it was like survival out there, right?
Yeah.
And so we developed this pattern of living that's just all about, you know, I got to get. You know, if I have this, everything will be fine, you know. And if I drive that, or I live here, or if I make this much money, everything's going to be okay. But the reality is I had a spiritual hole that needed to be filled that could only be, you know, filled through, you know, a spiritual way of living. And surfing really gave that to me. And so switching my life, you know, in my focus, but I recognize, you know, through all this personal work that I was a very selfish, self-centered, egotistical SOB, that I realized that I really didn't think about very many people but myself. And so during this process, you know, I switched my daily walk about thinking about others. You know, it says in there, it's basically, it's constant thought of other people and how can I best serve you, you know. So switching my whole outlook and being able to see it in a different way, you know, by having that clarity, when I had 5 years of, when I was clean and sober for 5 years, you know, is when I started my surf school, Van Carrazza Surf School, and during that same year, I started Amazing Surf Adventures, and my focus was is to do Amazing Surf Adventures for at-risk and underserved youth, because I wanted to share an opportunity that helped this kid. You know, I'm not saying it was real bad, but there were still, you know, those gaps that allowed me to, you know, squeak through and go down this certain journey. And so I felt if I can share surfing with somebody that could help change them like it did me, then, you know, everything, you know, then it'd be really good. And
kind of help them avoid the path and decades of being lost in addiction that you had. You could grab them young and keep them.
Well, hopefully. I guess it's inspired because, you know, we have a saying, attraction rather than promotion. You know, I can tell you, like they told me for years, you know, Van, you got issues. I go, no, you got the issues, you know, I'm fine. And as, you know, going down that, it was just basically given the opportunity to share my story and hopefully it would help somebody else. And one of the biggest points of my life is when I had this different perception about my past. If I can share my past with anybody and if it was able to help them in any way, then everything I did was for a reason. And so I took a lot of that negative thought process about my past, what was so heavy, because when you carry around a lifestyle and a you know, history, it gets really heavy and it gets really consuming, you know. And so, you know, so just having that change, you know, lighten the load a little bit to where I was able to walk a little freer and then really have a purpose. And as I was going down that road and, you know, being more selfless instead of selfish, you know, and directing my life towards helping other people and being of service, I was given the opportunity to help a group of wounded military that were recovering from the Brooke Army Medical Center in San Antonio, Texas, at the Center for the Intrepid.
And what year was this then?
Well, that was 2006 when they first came out here. Janice Rasnowski is the founder of an organization called Operation Comfort, and she was a ex-airline stewardess, and she used to fly the flight that was always taking a lot of the wounded into San Antonio, and so she got to meet a lot of these guys. And so when she went to go visit them in the hospital, she realized that there was a need for comforting these men and women recovering, and so she started Operation Comfort. And so she had a wounded military guy that used to surf, and he lost his leg, and he told Janice, I want to go surfing. And she said, well, you find somebody to take you surfing, and I'll take you surfing. And so he Googled amputee surfer and found Rodney Roller here in Pismo Beach. And so back in 2006, a group of 14, I believe, of them came over to Pismo Beach. And so he asked me to help him, but I was a camp counselor up in Santa Cruz for Richard Schmidt Surf School, and I was unable to do 2006. And my buddy, you know, God bless him right now, he just passed away a couple of days ago, but Eric McNeil helped Rodney do the first, what we now know in this community as AMP Surf. And so so in 2007 and 8, I was doing the surfing instruction for AMP Surf for a couple of years, and then, you know, I chose to go a different path, and I was just doing my surf school. And in between 2008 and 9, due to some scheduling challenges, Janice wasn't going to come out, and at that time Rodney was working for me as a surf instructor, and he came back and told me that that Janice ain't coming, and I asked why, and it was due to scheduling and dates coming, and she couldn't come, and so I said, you know, tell Janice that we'll do it whenever it works for her. And so in 2009, Rodney and I brought out to continue the same group that's been coming out for so long from the Center for the Intrepid, the CFI, in 2009, and that's when we founded Operation Surf. And so, and that's when, you know, the program Operation Surf was born, you know, is to, you know, because obviously I had to change the name because I wasn't doing it for them.
So you found kind of in the process from 2002 to 2009, this slow healing and growth and new path for you. If you're just tuning in, this is a conversation with a reluctant therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. My guest is Van Carrazza. He's the founder and program development director for Ocean Operations for Amazing Surf Adventures. He also started Van Carrazza Surf School in Avila. If you're familiar, I've seen you there for years. And we're talking about Operation Surf, his program that was founded. We just got to the 2009 date and what it's done for returning veterans, and talk about some of the research that's been done to support the idea of ocean therapy as a way of healing and working with combat and trauma returning, trauma influenced returning veterans. We're going to continue our conversation and take your calls just in a few moments, but Dave's been waiting patiently, so I want to grab his call. Hi, Dave, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi, Elizabeth. I've so enjoyed listening to your guest on so many levels, not only his personal journey, but what he's recently shared with regards to working with the veterans. But I've called because when you open the window by saying, make a presentation or speak someplace, I thought here was my opportunity. And I will be making two presentations on Veterans Day, both at the Atascadero Library at 10:30 and the San Luis Obispo Library at 1, about my father, who was a POW in World War II and participated in the longest force march of any group of Allied servicemen across Germany in the winter of 1945. It's a very compelling story, not because of what my father did per se, but because of how this group of 7,000 men band together under extremely adverse conditions and supported each other and literally carried each other for over 500 miles of this long march.
Dave, and are you speaking behind a book that you wrote, or is this just something you've done as a passionate?
Yeah. I finished a book called Sea Logger last year. And I've made a number of presentations in the community, and I've been asked to make these two presentations on Veterans Day. So I will be talking about what my father's experience, and then just the serendipity of what I have discovered about myself and about my father by just writing this book.
So, Dave, for those who are interested in spending some time with you on Saturday, you'll be at the San Luis Library?
At 1 o'clock.
At 1 o'clock.
And at 10:30, I'll be at the Atascadero Library.
Thank you. Thank you for taking the time to call in, and thank you for writing about your father's experience, because I'm sure this is going to touch many, many veterans and families who whose families were touched by the same event. Thank you for calling in, Dave. So, Van.
Yes.
I would imagine in your work since 2009, you've heard a lot of stories of veterans and their heroic actions and leaning on each other and literally carrying each other for miles to help them. And it seems a bit that Operation Surf has a kind of brings veterans and returning soldiers back to that place where they have to physically help each other to get on the surfboard. Talk about what it's like to work with veterans in Operation Surf. What is the week-long event like?
Well, really the stories and the relationships that were created by having the opportunity to take them surfing is what has really inspired me to continue my mission, is because I was hearing these stories from, 19 and 20-year-old young men with, stories about, how they lost their legs, and, to see their journey, what they're embarking on, and and then self-reflecting on and seeing how selfish and, just having the lifestyle that I had, by having these relationships, and to see how taking them surfing was putting a smile on their face, I wanted to continue to do this. But the more and more people I'd met through doing this with Janice for all these years, I was able to see things, how parallel a surfer's lifestyle and a recovering alcoholic and drug addict was so parallel, and how we can benefit by having be able to share each other's experiences. And that's where the true unity comes in, is when we create the opportunity to bring people and veterans together with similar problems, with different paths, with one mission, which is just to go surfing, lets them know when they are able to talk with another veteran that they're not alone. And so one of the things about what I've learned is, you know, when they come back, there's an isolation issue that comes on, is because a lot of them really, they've shared with me, they really didn't want to interact with the society that is that we live in, due to the lack of what they're used to having. Is like when he was talking about, Dave was talking about that 500 men journeying. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a large group, but there's small groups inside that large group that are together, that have each other's back, that can count on each other through anything. And when they know that something's going down, they know that their brother next to them has got their best interest. And that is one of the things that I learned about what they come back into society. That's why I really believe that movie you were talking about is about, I think one of our issues is having transitional programs for when they are leaving the military to get in, to remix in with a normal civilian life. I think there needs to be programs to prepare them for that. So
when the movie I was talking about was Thank You for Your Service, it was just released. And I think that's what Dave was saying, and I was trying to connect it to you, but I do a very good job, is that when all these young men and women are working together and having to count on each other to save their lives and to do their work, when mm-hmm. they come back to the States, as you said, they become isolated. They're back in their families or in their hometown, but they lose that sense of camaraderie, right? That sense of brotherhood, right, or sisterhood. And so not only are they dealing with the trauma of combat or PTSD or loss of limbs or traumatic brain injuries, but they also feel so alone. And so Operation Surf, then, you found a curriculum, I guess, to help bring yes. soldiers not just back and have the opportunity to surf, but back to themselves. So can you talk about that? And I guess we kind of maybe skipped over a little bit. What is Operation Surf, and how do the veterans find you?
Well, Operation Surf was just organically created, just like by just wanting to take some guys surfing. And Operation Surf is basically a week-long surf program that brings, you know, wounded military, primarily in combat. Not all of them have been in combat, but a lot of it has been combat injured military men and women in the transitional period of their recovery. And through that experience, we create the opportunity for, now we have a process where we have five local veterans go through an application process. We have a nationwide application process for people, veterans all over the nation to come. And then we have five recovering servicemen and women from the Center for the Intrepid in San Antonio. And so I try to keep our foundation with the military hospital intact, but I open it up for the nation. But I also found out it's very important to involve our community, our local community, and the opportunity that is in front of them. Because we had a lot of people coming up to us during our events in the beginning years going, you know, how do we get involved in this stuff going to come? But it was designed for all the military guys from the Center for the Intrepid in San Antonio, Texas. So I was shutting off, and I was not, it wasn't structured to have local veterans involved, but now there is that process, because I find it's very important for us to work with our community veterans, and to bring the people together just to learn just to be of service, you know.
So you have 15 participants mm-hmm. for a week-long program, and you do them in different places. You have one here in the Central Coast, one up in Santa Cruz.
We have one in Huntington Beach in June. By the way, the next one we're having is March 22nd through the 28th up in Santa Cruz. And then we actually do one in September in Cornwall, England also.
Wow. So you're taking these week-long programs and branching out all over. I mean, the need and the desire to be a part of this is obviously great.
Well, there's more and more people reaching out mm-hmm. To experience what they're learning about. And unfortunately, what I'm learning is the intimate groups that we're creating and how we run our curriculum through the week is really where we're getting our best results. And so, unfortunately, numbers is not where I'm going for. Mm-hmm. I'm going for quality. And the quality is creating the atmosphere where we can create the camaraderie and that relationship between not only the surf instructor to the veteran, but to the group as a whole, and not just the staff of Amazing Surf Adventures, but the volunteer community also. Because as Kevin shared, you know, his excitement and his, you know, his testimony of how it helped him is a prime example of Operation Surf, how our community is a big part of our curriculum also. And so by opening up the opportunities for people to get involved, that want to get involved, is a big part of the result. So I got to say thank you to all of our local communities for reaching out and having that passion that you guys all have.
My guest today is Van Carrazza. He is the founder of Operation Surf, Amazing Surf Adventures, and also Carrazza Surf School. And we're talking about, in preparation for Veterans Day, what do we do for our veterans who are returning more than saying thank you for your service? What are the programs? How do we help them transition and find that sense of camaraderie and community that they miss when they come back to the States? We're going to open up the phone lines to take your calls at 805-781-3875. You're listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and we'll be back in a moment to take your calls.
I love thy rocks. I love thy rills. I love thy woods and thy tales. Don't you know my heart with rapture thrills just like that above? Oh, oh, oh. Let music swell the breeze and ring.
I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. My guest is Van Carrazza, and we're talking about Amazing Surf Adventures and his program Operation Surf, and bringing together 15 combat veterans. They're not always combat, but mostly they are, for a week-long program to help bring them back to whole. So tell me about this program, because you keep using the term curriculum. So clearly this is not just a, hey, let's go surfing week. There's so much more, clearly.
Yes, it has a structure to where it creates a low pressure environment to where you can create relationships, and through the relationships and the teaching of surfing, and the not only the relationship between the veteran, the surf instructor, it's also Mother Nature in the ocean. And so when we're able to use all these components together, it's because obviously they have to learn to take suggestions from the surf instructor to learn about the ocean, which is the neutralizing component in here, is because that ocean is what is teaching us, you know, the gift, I guess, is, you know, having fun, exercising, getting in a spiritual environment, and to have that meditative time to where, you know, it relieves your mind from what's been going on in your life. And so that was my experience through some of my issues in my childhood. I recognized how when I go surfing, I don't think about anything else. And
right,
so,
it takes all of your focus.
Yes, and it's not a prescription pill that does this. I think one of the reasons we wanted to have this conversation mm-hmm. is to have the opportunity, like there is organic ways of relieving our minds. And so during the curriculum of this week, you know, we set this pattern up to where we're staying, eating, surfing, hanging out, and just talking like brothers and sisters do. And through the week, the relationships and the environment takes this setting of where the comfort and the trust gets created. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I was able to learn about Bobby's story and to hear about some of the things that was going on, is because, you know, it was like one day we were Bobby loves the story.
And Bobby Lane, by the way, is the focus of the documentary Resurface, which is available on Netflix.
Correct. So, yeah. So how it all started was, is just, and this is how I learned another part about how important it is just to hang out and to spend time together, because we were at the Ava Lighthouse Suites in the hot tub after surfing there in Avila, and me and David Paskowitz were talking, and I was talking about the relativeness about his intentions of doing some things as the oldest son, what he thought his dad would want him to do. But what happened was he created a lot of resentment with his brothers and his sister, and there's a lot of conflict in the family. And having my family issues, I thought it was really important, you know, to say, hey, I understand where that was coming from. And then it was David Paskowitz, myself, and Bobby Lane in the hot tub, and that's when Bobby said, yeah, I was just going to come out here and surfing, and I was going to go home and commit suicide. And so here's me and Dave talking, and we're like, all of a sudden we're hearing this, and I didn't want to make it a big deal. I didn't want to, you know, like, WTF, you know?
Yeah,
like,
the red flag goes up right now.
Yeah, so so then we just went on, and we started talking and didn't really make a big deal out of it. And then later that night I was asking him, I asked Bobby, I said, so what's Operation Surf to you? And he goes, well, it's like the new heroin. And I was like, excuse me? It's like, you mean like it takes your mind off? He goes, well, yeah, prior to coming out here, I've been on so many medications that I've been having nightmares every night since I've been back. And they try to prescribe me lithium and to try to get my dreams to stop. And I said, I've been here for 3 days, and all I've been dreaming about is surfing. And I was just like, love.
So was that was that a new thing for you to hear, or was this something that you had been experiencing with all of your participants?
When you visually see an effect on somebody, you can only assume. But to actually hear it come out of their mouth is something that doesn't happen all the time. Mm-hmm. And when the experiences are ongoing, it gives more opportunities for these things to happen. And that's why we continue to do more each year and try to raise the amount of money so I can continue to create these opportunities for more veterans to come in and experience in this. And so, you know, we have the 5, 5, and 5, but I also have 3 to 5 veteran support and ambassadors that are in place in the week too. So that way there's a veteran that has experienced the program before them that they can share their experience with them, because the two veterans talking with each other is a little bit more receptive in the beginning days, that, you know, because they don't know none of us. And most of the military guys, they're very reserved on any type of a commitment until they understand their environment, you know, because that's just how they're trained. And
to show no weakness.
Well, show
no emotions.
Exactly.
Keep it within the.
And that same thing is what got me to the place to where I was, and the relativeness of a lot of the military guys. They get into places in their mind where they're trained to be the protector and the server, and they are not supposed to need. And that pride and that education that they're taught is, it's good in certain settings and it's not good in other settings, is because the humility and the understanding that I had to come to my own self to start taking directions from another human being, you know, I had to get to that place, you know. And, you know, loving life like I do, I mean, I often tell people I understand why people commit suicide because of how I felt, you know. And so those feelings of, you know, the loneliness and no one understands and I'm overwhelmed and I can't get through this. The stuff won't stop. It's just never ending drama. It's like the constant struggle of being a veteran here at home now. Sometimes our solutions that is provided by our country is part of the problem, you know. And I'm not here to point out those things or say that, but unfortunately that's the problem. And so these relationships that are created between our organization and our veterans is oftentimes we're having just normal conversations with people where they're expressing their struggle, you know, not only personally, but with their family and the struggles with the doctors and, you know,
and being over medicated to the point of needing medications to deal with medications and feeling in some ways trapped by that, because that's the sense I got from Bobby Lane's story, is that he poured out at one point a baggie of all the pills he'd been on, and that had become his life, was managing symptoms and then the effects of the pills, and feeling like this was the this was his sentence for the rest of his life, was to be medicated up.
That bowl of prescription pills was from changing medications. Mm. So they would issue him some medications to take, and then as it was going on, I go, oh no, we need to change and now take this. And so that's leftover prescription pills from the change and the doctor's suggestion for them to take this and the combination of these things for their relief and their solution. And unfortunately, I myself, on a side note, think it's part of the problem. Mm-hmm. You know?
Well, and I think that's why I loved the whole idea of Operation Surf and seeing what you do, because it looks like instantaneously these participants have something else to think about and focus on than themselves, or this idea that they're broken now, because that seemed to be the theme, right? They return and now they're broken or damaged, and we'll always have to take pills, we'll always be suffering. And to grab back their power by getting on a surfboard, even if they've lost a limb or had a traumatic brain injury, or I saw you working with someone who was blind and deaf, and you got them out on the board. I mean, that was medicine beyond medicine. And it's interesting because I notice that you actually have research that backs up the ocean therapy. So talk about that, because there's a 36% reduction in PTSD symptoms, a 48% reduction in depression symptoms, a 68% increase in self-efficacy after 1 week with you in the ocean. I mean, who did this research and how did it come about?
Well, Russell Crawford was a student, and he is a veteran himself with PTSD that surfs. And so he wanted to do his doctorate on surfing ocean therapy for veterans with PTSD. So he researched every surfing program in the world. And he called us, and he proceeded to tell me that this was his goal and what he wanted to do. And so, you know, after him saying that he researched every surfing program, and, you know, I'm calling you because it looks like you guys have the most effect, and you seem to be the only curriculum-based program out there.
Right, more than just let's get on a board. You've got the whole camaraderie, team-building, emotional support going.
Yes, because a couple of things is every organization has some type of an effect, because there's someone with passion behind that organization. And when you connect the passion with service and doing something with somebody, you're going to have somewhat level of an effect of a positive way in somebody. And that's why every program works out there. And that's one of the reasons why I know our program is really successful, is because the passion, not only in our organization and our surf instructors, but the community members that come out and volunteer, that passion is everywhere and people actually care. And that's what they see. So we're not just taking them out for a day. I'm not saying the week that we do will change and save everyone that comes to it, but it's an opportunity that's created, which is necessary. And so those numbers.
A change of perspective, right?
Well, yes. Those numbers that you see are, you know, there was 120 of our past participants that were, that did the studies, and those results that were discovered were some of the most effective numbers that the, what do they call them? The people that take all of the studies and then evaluate the
validate the research.
And then, you know, they were saying this is one of the most effective programs they've ever seen go across their desk. I can't believe the results of what they're getting in just 1 week. I can't believe this is happening, not prescription pill oriented. Like, these comments that were shared to me by Russell were just amazing. And so, but the one point I do want to bring out is that the study was a pre just finishing and 30 days post. And the numbers that you shared with is just finishing our program.
So, and that's just after 1 week. That's
just
the
after
improvement.
1 week. But then the 30 day post, it's showing that the PTSD and the depression are creeping back to almost the normal numbers, not quite the same numbers, but the self-efficacy only dropped less than 5%. So you know, Russell explained it to me that it was basically when they come into this program, they're feeling like the world is in control of them. And when they leave this program, they feel like they have control of the world. So even though the numbers are creeping back in depression and PTSD, they still have the self-efficacy that they can overcome and take on the challenges that are in front of them, like they have some type of control, you know. And so the 22 suicides a day for veterans in our country is a number. And, you know, at this point, with over 500 people participating in our event, plus their family members, you know, that are affected, we haven't had one person commit suicide. And so, you know, so we're really proud of that. But it also shows the need for ongoing programs and to study why these things are happening in between, you know, post-event and 30 days post. We got to figure out, you know, what is it? Because life happens, you know. You could have a death in the family. You could have a divorce. You could have a separation. You could lose a dog. You could have one of your, comrades, you know, commit suicide. There's so many different things that can bring this stuff back. And so, but the cool thing about it is, and the one significant thing, this is the only surfing program out there that has a study done on it.
Yeah. So. Well, not just one, there's two books. If you're just tuning in, my guest today is Van Carassa, and we're talking about Operation Surf, an amazing surf adventures, a program that Van founded in 2006 to help returning veterans find their way into the ocean, the way he found peace and solace in the ocean and healing. And so these two books you brought in today, one is The Impact of Ocean Therapy on Veterans with Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder by Dr. Russell Crawford, and the other one is called Blue Mind by Wallace J. Nichols. I mean, my brother's a surfer. My brother-in-law's a surfer. My husband's a surfer. My neighbors, I mean, surfing, if you're on the Central Coast, you're a surfer. And I know from talking to every person I know who surfs, that therapeutic piece of getting into the ocean, having to respect the ocean and the waves. You can't think about anything outside of it because you have to concentrate on what you're doing. I mean, it's powerful for every person, this ocean therapy, this surfing therapy. And I think also the community of being a surfer is powerful.
Yes.
You know, there's something magic about saying, I'm a surfer.
Everyone wants to be cool, right, Van?
Yeah, I mean, these men and women come out and get on a board and they get to go home and say, I'm a surfer.
Yeah. And we give them, you know, a thumb drive of pictures of them and, you know, and then we give them awards, you know, to give them an award at the end of the week that is significant to some significant surfer in our history. And so they could have something to go home and like, oh, I won the Kelly Slater Award.
Is there a Buzzy Kerbox Award?
We haven't had someone that handsome come through yet.
Yeah, he's still my favorite. That tells you how old I am in my history of the surf world. So if people want to get involved with Operation Surf, because you talk about volunteers being a big part of the program, how do they get involved? How do they find the joy that you have?
Well, you can go onto our website and contact us, get involved, volunteer, and give us your information that way. You can send an email to info@AmazingSurfAdventures and request the opportunity of when the next opportunity to volunteer is, or you can just give us a call at 805-544-SURF. That's 805-544-7873. And we're located here in Avila Beach. So, you know, there's plenty of opportunities to get involved. You know, we always have need for committee members to go out and do the volunteer work to find the meals, to also get involved in our golf tournament that's June 25th out here at the San Luis Obispo Country Club. You know, so we're looking for committee chair people to help get involved in that. And there's so many different ways to get involved to give back to the veteran that's coming surfing, because we have to raise the money and we have to reach out and we have to ask people, you know, who do you know, what do you do? You would like to get involved, you know, and, you know, unfortunately we can't do this stuff without money.
So a couple other dates, because you do events all over the state and the country. There's a golf tournament March 30th, 2018 in Pebble Beach. There's a Santa Cruz program March 22nd through 28th in Capitola. And then the Avila event will be next year, October 9th through 15th, 2018. So check out the website. But let's make a date to have this conversation again come this summer so we can get people excited for the fall.
I would love to come back, and, you know, it's been an honor to be here, and it's been a quite wonderful conversation with you.
Thank you, Van. My guest has been Van Carassa from Amazing Surf Adventures. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This has been a conversation with a reluctant therapist. You can find out more information about the show at kcbx.org or on our Facebook page, The Reluctant Therapist. I want to leave you with a song from Bill Withers and ask you to please take the time to think of our veterans over the next few days and especially on Saturday. Thank you for supporting Public Radio, KCBX.
A lot of people write songs about wars and government, very social things. But I think about young guys who were like I was when I was young. I had no more idea about any government or political things or anything. And I think about those kind of young guys now who all of a sudden somebody comes up and they're very law-abiding. So if somebody says go, they don't ask any questions, they just go. And I can remember not too long ago seeing a young guy with his right arm gone. Just got back. And I asked him how he was doing. He said he was doing all right now, but he had thought he was gonna die. He said getting shot at didn't bother him. It was getting shot that shook him up. And I tried to put myself in his position. Maybe he cried. Maybe he said, I can't write left-handed. Would you please write a letter? Write a letter to my mother. Tell her to tell, tell her to tell, tell her to tell her family lawyer. Trying to get a deferment for my younger brother. Tell the Reverend Harris to pray for me, Lord, Lord, Lord. I don't believe I'm gonna live to get much older. Strange little man over here in Vietnam. I ain't never seen. Bless his heart, I ain't never done nothing to. He done shot me in my shoulder. You know we talked about fighting, fighting every day. And looking through rosy and rosy-colored glasses. I must admit it seemed exciting. In a way, yeah, but something that they overlooked to tell me, Lord, bullets look better, I must say. Thank you. looking at you. But go out the other way. And please call up the Reverend, call up the Reverend Harry.